You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Second and goal, pass, caught, touchdown, Chicago. Allen Robinson.
For Chicago to add to their lead here with a touchdown. They get the ball to start the second half.
Down Robinson.
They can put the dagger in the Cowboys here early in this third quarter.
Here's a quick throw to Miller. Good throw. Touchdown. What a drive and what a throw there by Trubisky. He keeps again. One-on-one. Tackle missed. Touchdown Trubisky. What a night for number 10.
Here is an onside kick recovered by Miller. And Anthony Miller is there for Chicago. And the Bears are going to go to 7-6. And the Cowboys will leave Illinois with a record of 6-7.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
The only issue was the interception he threw early on the first drive, and it was a really good drive. They had this good drive going.
Following their their 17-play drive?
17-play drive. And I'm thinking, who was he throwing that to? Here's Mitchell Trubisky on the INT.
What I took away from that was just take care of the football, trying to extend the play, and didn't make a smart decision. So obviously came back from that, forgot about it, and was able to go down and move the football very well.
There you go. That's him on the INT. Here's Mitch on the winning streak and what it says about his football team.
I think it says we're resilient and we stick together. We believe in each other, even when nobody else believes in us. So it's a special group in that locker room, and we just want to keep this feeling going. And that's focusing on the little things, working hard, sticking together, and just doing our jobs.
And finally, as we get to Jeff Dickerson, this is Mitch on the improvements over the last month.
Really steady improvement comes from focusing on incremental steady improvement. So that's what we've been preaching since really training camp when we were talking about that. Got away from it a little bit, went through some adversity. I mean, but that's all great. Pulled together tighter, overcame that. And we just got to continue focus on getting better, staying hungry, coming closer together as a team and family, and doing the things that are allowing us to be successful. But that's staying humble and staying hungry and keep getting better each week.
And that leads us to our guy, Jeff Dickerson, here on a Victory Friday brought to you by Chicagoland Acura Dealers. JD, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Cap, Pat, I'm wonderful. It is great to be with you guys. And I will say, Cap, I think you have been rather restrained so far this morning. I'm proud of you because when Pat and I saw the videos last night, we both feared the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that, look, this is the reality for everyone out there, okay? Mitchell Trubisky had a great game last night. And, Cap, you're right. Except for that red zone pick, which was a bad throw. I like that he recovered from that, though. You know, it would have been very easy for the Bears after giving up the 17-play drive to start the game to the Cowboys, then having their own successful drive, but having Mitch end it with that bad pick by the goal line, it would have been very easy for them to be shell-shocked and let the Cowboys get out of the goal line area, put some more points on the board, and then they're trailing even more the entire game. Instead, what do? A big defensive stop. They get the ball back, they score, and they're off and running. So I like what Trubisky did last night. However, Pat, you cannot ignore the games he played earlier this year when he did not play well. Just
agreed.
So everyone understands.
And that's what I said. You know,
completely.
Look, there were times where myself, went, I can't believe that this guy's playing this bad. I really believe, you know, I believed in him from day one. And I went, okay, I apologize. Maybe I was wrong. I guess I was wrong. He's not that good a player. But I always felt like he had this ability in him. But I asked Pat this question. I'd like you to answer it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who went to Matt Nagy and who said to him, okay, we got to change how we're playing. We got to get this kid on the move. We got to use his left. Like, there's been this evolution. Who changed it the last few weeks?
Well, I would hope it's everybody coming together. It doesn't have to be just one person. I mean, that's why Matt Nagy has these assistant coaches. I mean, why is Mark Helfrich here? Why is Brad Childress been a part of this organization. Why are these guys here? It's because Matt Nagy is a young head coach who doesn't claim to have all the answers. It's got to be collective. I think there's several things at play. I think, number one, they had to have gone to Mitch and said, Mitch, look, man, you got to run. Like, I understand that you want to protect the football, but these are desperate times right now. We are in a bad spot with six losses. You got to use your legs. I think there's also, and now Nagy denied this last night, but there's got to be some credence to the fact that he's learning to play with his shoulder injury better, and the hip is feeling better. So physically, maybe he's able to do more things, and that gives him more confidence running the football. But it definitely gives the offense a completely different element. People have been asking about it the entire year. Guys, he had 80 rushing yards going into last night, and he had 63 against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And when he moves, he moves. I mean, you guys see that those next-gen stats about the speed in which he hits the pocket? He's running 15 miles an hour. The guy's fat for a quarterback.
It's his greatest asset, J.D., by far.
Without question. Pat, without question, it's what he does best. And I think this year, early this year, there was a little stubbornness as in, remember we would ask Nagy the questions about Mitch running. And Nagy's response was, well, he needs to be a passer first and a runner second. And I feel like maybe in a perfect world, that's the type of quarterback that Matt Nagy wants. But this isn't a perfect world.
Right.
And Mitchell Trubisky isn't a perfect quarterback. So you just have to use what he has at his disposal to help you on offense. And finally, they figured it out. But the problem, guys, is probably it's too late. And what has to happen now next year is they got to get together this offseason. If, in fact, they miss the playoffs, that'll probably happen. They got to figure out why they started so slow this year, why it took so long to hit their rhythm offensively, and try to make sure next year they get out the gate much faster on offense.
J.D., you know how they say, before someone gets help, they got to hit rock bottom. And you remember your conversation with us following the Rams game, and you talked about looking at Mitchell around the team bus after the game was over and just how he just looked like a different person than the one you had seen for the better part of 3 years. Was that his rock bottom? And was that his so-called football come to Jesus where he needed to figure some things out, change some things, and get in line, and maybe even the Bears' offensive coaches as well?
You know, Pat, I don't know how he felt, but I can just tell you like what I observed, what everyone observed in the Coliseum. That was the worst body language he ever had after a game. Like, you could tell that he was wearing that loss really hard. And he had bad games, of course, against the Packers week one, against the Saints, against the Chargers, right? He had these bad games. But maybe at that point, he was still holding on to what he had accomplished last year, and he was able to be a little more positive, a little peppier after games. That Rams game was the worst. I mean, he was mumbling, his hip hurt, he had been pulled. He wasn't sure about his future. Nobody was at that point what was going to happen going forward with him. So maybe he used that as a chance to have some sort of self-reflection. Only he would know. He's kind of now in the mindset of giving these like robotic, you know, programmed answers to everything, which is totally fine. When you play the way he played last night, you can say whatever you want. But he was not giving you anything last night into how he felt. It was all very generic team stuff. And that's cool. That's his choice. But I have to think that after the Rams game, they realized that we just can't continue with this. We can't keep going down this road with him playing this way, with us asking him to play this way. So things changed. And the good thing for Trubisky is that not only did those things change, but the offensive line played a lot better last night. You know, Anthony Miller stepped up, made some plays. Montgomery ran well. So the other pieces around him have also kind of picked it up the last couple of weeks.
Jeff, as you looked at David Montgomery, the offensive line went up against one of their best challenges of the year, and they were really, really good. David Montgomery was really, really good. What are you seeing from him as this season goes on?
I like the fact that he's touching the football, don't you, Cap? And again, it just shows you it shows you that when the Bears get a lead early and they're up 10-7, 14-7, 17-7, right?
Yep.
They can do these different things in the run game because they don't feel the pressure of having to throw to eat into these deficits. I thought Montgomery ran really hard last night. Good job by the offensive line, blocking not just for him but also for Mitch. I thought Leno had a great block on Mitch's 23-yard touchdown run, which, how about this number? That was the longest home touchdown run for the Bears since Matt Forte in 2009. It had been a long time.
Wow.
Since someone had popped a 23-yard-plus touchdown run at Soldier Field.
Yeah, unless you count the 70-yard TD run Mitch had against New England that was at the 8-yard line when he ran
right.
all around the
right,
field.
Right, right, right. Exactly. So, I mean, that unfortunately didn't count as far as the stats went in that regard. But so I thought Montgomery ran really hard. I thought both running backs last night ran hard. Boy, Ezekiel Elliott's a beast, and the Cowboys just, they are a disaster. But you know what? I said this to Waddle and Sylvie before the game yesterday, and guys, I will stand by this, okay? No one should say today, well, yeah, the Bears beat the Cowboys, they blew them out almost, but Dallas is in disarray. Don't say that today, okay? That's a win that the Bears earned, that Mitchell Trubisky earned, and that's a good win against a team that probably will find a way to backdoor themselves into the playoffs. So, yes, it was almost comical watching the Cowboys melt down again on the sidelines during the game yesterday. But that's still a team with a lot of talent, and that was a great win for the Bears and Matt Nagy.
The great Jeff Dickerson joins us on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. How about the production from J.P. Holtz and Jesper Horsted? Look, we know how important the tight end position is in Matt Nagy's offense. We know how that has been a major stumbling block for the majority of this season. My question to you is, Are Holtz and Horsted just seat fillers until you find a better equipped answer at tight end, or could they be a part of the big picture going forward?
Well, I mean, I don't think they've done anything to like eliminate their roster spots next year, Pat. Do you? I mean, I think they would be brought to training camp and, you know, in the mix to play. I still think you'd probably try to go out and either draft or find a more athletic, sort of proven pass catcher. Horsted's very athletic, doesn't block well. Holtz had that nice screen play last night, had a couple of nice catches. So I think these guys have done nothing to kick them off the team next year, but I think you're going to have to address that position regardless because Shaheen's a flop, and I think they should probably move on from Burton. We'll see what they decide to do. No more guaranteed money left on that deal. So I think, Pat, by default, you have to add some guys at that position anyways. So I wouldn't be looking to add backups and say that these two guys are my top line guys. I would probably slot them more in that backup category, but at least they've got experience and they can play and then go out and look to try to find a couple more marquee frontline tight ends.
They got three more really tough games. Green Bay, Kansas City, Minnesota with only KC at home. When do they have to make a decision? What is the date or thereabouts that they have to go, yeah, Mitch, we're not picking up your fifth-year option, or yes, Mitch, we are picking it up?
Oh, I don't think that's like immediate or anything. Typically speaking, those announcements will come at the end of the year post press conference, you know, like last year, Ryan Pace announced
Leonard
in early
Floyd's.
January that Leonard Floyd's was being picked up. A couple years ago, he also announced that Kyle Fuller's was not being picked up. And then Kyle Fuller went out and had a great fourth year and got the big money, and there you go. So that they don't have to make that announcement for a long, long time. I think the three of us have all been in unison here at least the last couple of weeks. It's going to take something crazy for them not to be with Mitch next year. I mean, I think he's their guy. There's no doubt about it. They're looking for anything positive to hang their hat on, and now he's given them that. Look, he's given them reasons to believe in him for next year, and I think that's going to take care of itself. I do think they have to add more competition. I think they will. It's perhaps a veteran quarterback coming in here. But I think the fifth-year option is something that can wait. It's a big number for a quarterback. But, you know, right now, if I would say what are the odds they pick it up, probably pretty good, but no one wants that fifth-year option. They want to, if they like a guy enough, They want the long-term deal worked out before that. But I don't think they're at that point right now with Trubisky as far as a long-term deal.
All right. Enjoy the day.
I will enjoy the day. I'll see you guys tonight. We'll pick this up tonight. And, Cap, no videos tonight, okay?
No videos tonight, kid. I had my fun last night.
No selfie videos tonight, all right? I look forward to talking to you guys later.
I don't know, JD, you know, he doesn't go at people on Twitter anymore. That ended. That embargo was lifted this week.
Yeah,
Listen, a very fluid man. I like that. We're all fluid in life.
Hey,
you got to leave yourself some wiggle room. You know what I'm saying?
If Mitchell can adapt and Matt Nagy can adapt, so can the Cap Man.
Great talking to you guys. Enjoy your day.
All right, enjoy it. See ya. There you go. That's Jeff Dickerson. Victory Friday is brought to you by Chicagoland Acura Dealers. We've got a lot of calls. So if you'd like to jump in, 312-332-3776. Just talk about the game last night, what you saw. There were a lot of people calling in the last few days that said they're not going to win this game. They've got no chance. They're going to go 0-4. They're 1-0, 3 to go. Let's take it one at a time. But what did you think? What did you like? What did you not like? 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
The guys on offense are stepping up to the challenge. They're accepting it. The offensive line right now is playing really well. They're creating holes. They're doing great in the pass game. They're doing what we know they're capable of doing. And that was a very, very tough front four today. That's a light way to put it. Really, they're good, and I'm proud of our offensive line for stepping up.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
There's Matt Nagy, 312-332-3776. It's a Victory Friday brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. I haven't had that much fun watching a game in a long, long time, just because everybody was all over. The Cowboys were favored in Vegas. Mm-hmm. A lot of the handicappers I follow were on the Cowboys. And I was watching the football after show, and I talked with Alex Brown earlier in the day. I talked with Olin, those guys. Olin said he broke the tape down, and he goes, "I'm telling you, they can beat the Cowboys." I said, "Why do you believe that?" He said, "I really believe this O-line is going to have a good game tonight." And he was right on the money. Right on the money. That was a huge key.
I'm curious where he stands with Cornelius Lucas and the impact that he had, and Cody Whitehair, the change to Whitehair back to center.
Mm-hmm.
How much Olin thinks that has been part of the equation and the better efforts we've seen from the offensive line in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he said like he's all in on James Daniels, really likes him as a player. He said, but I got to admit, right now, it's working. What they're doing has relaxed Mitch, and they've been comfortable.
You know, when the postscript is written on this season, and I'm really looking forward to these final three games because, you know, and I we got into this about the Detroit Thanksgiving game. I do place value on the team that Mitch is going up against, because ultimately, if I want to win the Super Bowl, I got to beat good teams. I want to see how 10 plays against good teams, good defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So these last three games against Kansas City, Green Bay, and the Vikings, they're all three teams that are obviously in the playoff mix. So the stakes are higher. The stage is bigger. Let's see how, you know, if he continues this progression. When the postscript is written on this season, I think it's going to be, we were late. And it's, we were late to telling Mitch to use his legs. We were late to a commitment to the running game. We were late moving Whitehair back to center.
Yep.
We were maybe even late in deciding Eddie Pinheiro's fate. Now, I know he connected last night, but we obviously know the faith that they have, the lack thereof, has been evident the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I, you know, summarize this year, I think a lot of it's going to be that they didn't act quick enough to adapt. And at the end of the day, that's what this league is all about.
And John Harbaugh did that.
Yes.
100%.
He absolutely did.
Now, in defense of Matt, he's in his second year as a head coach. Didn't have a ton of coordinating experience. John Harbaugh's in, what, his 10th, 12th year as a head coach?
Something like that, yeah.
So maybe it takes time to evolve and learn. You know?
Yeah, I mean, but I tend to think it's more about personality, really.
And that's him being stubborn.
I think there's been some stubbornness, but I also think Matt was knocked down several rungs. I think everybody at Halas Hall, like last year, how could you not walk out with a puffy chest?
Correct.
I mean, club dub, the whole nine.
Right. Yeah, we were 5-11 the day we arrived here, and we left, gave you a 12-4.
It was a storybook year.
Yeah.
Okay. It had a bad ending to it. Everybody expected more, and we thought that that storybook would pick up week one against Green Bay, and the fun would just keep on coming. And guess what?
It didn't. Well said.
And so, you know, everybody was knocked down a rung. We heard from JD. He never saw Mitchell Trubisky lower than after that Rams game. I do think that was his rock bottom. And I think, in a way, as weird and as odd as that was handled on the sidelines, mm-hmm. and the broadcast crew was not told, and was it the hip? Was it a bench? You know, what? I think it was a combination of several factors. But I think that was really good. I think that was the reset button. I think he got his job taken away from him that he thought he would not ever have to deal with. And the last 3 weeks, we've seen a different guy.
100% different guy. 312-332-3776. Let's go back to the phones. How about we can go to Rob in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show. Cap, a lot like you, I've been a huge Mitch fan, so I'm playing college. Kind of been vacillating this year about, you know, whether he's the right guy. And I'm not still not sure if he's the right guy. But what was great to see yesterday, obviously you kind of feel proud. He seems like a great kid. Obviously that's not enough, but he's got talent, and it's so refreshing. Like, even on that run, Eddie Jackson came and hugged him. He's the anti-Jay Cutler. Nobody's going to hug Jay Cutler. Maybe even the offense won't. But I will say, Mitch has been going through some of it justified, but almost to a scrutiny of the society we're living in to a fault, but really impressed with the guy's character, have been all year, but most importantly, for him to come back from a lot of that, you know, just abuse verbally, and again, some of it talented-wise, is it justified? What a great, impressive thing. One last thing, the 3rd-and-2 that we went yesterday for Mitch to run and pick up, that was something we haven't been doing all year in a 3rd-and-1 quarterback sneak. A lot of that just seems to be semantics, which, you know, I kind of like Nagy, but I don't think he had been doing most of the year. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, but more importantly, talk about it. I think Mitch is just a high character guy that I think we should bring in and maybe draft somebody just there or get a good backup just in case. But, you know, he's a solid player. He's a good guy, and I still think there's a higher ceiling. So I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. Look, he has a very high ceiling, but as I think you said earlier, we can't forget, maybe it was JD, I thought it was you, we can't forget the bad games that he played either.
JD said that.
And he has got to continue to improve. That's it. First 10 games, Mitchell Trubisky, 10 TDs, 6 interceptions, completed 62.2% of his passes with a QB rating of 80.5. His last 2 games, 6-2 TD to interception, completion percentage of 75.4, and a QB rating of 116.8. So,
all right,
anyway.
Say goodbye to that caller.
Yeah, I don't know where that was coming from. 312-332-3776. Fat Mike. Hey, Fat Mike, what's up, kid?
What's up, fellas? I love how the tables have turned on Mitchell Trubisky over the last couple of weeks. Either way you look at it, the guy is still a trash fire. He's only beaten teams that he should have beaten. You're going...
You there, Fat
the
Mike?
Terrible Cowboys. You got to be kidding me. How are you going to sit there and say that this guy is the guy when he's obviously not the guy? He's only beating teams that 35 other quarterbacks in the NFL should beat. Come on now, guys. Quit flipping. Figure it out.
Hold on a
second. I'm tired of
this. Hold on a second.
No, Fat Mike. You flip more than a McDonald's cheeseburger, pal, and it's getting sick.
And guess,
it's sickening.
And guess what, Fat Mike? Guess what? The kid was outstanding last night, and that's all we have to judge is last night's game.
The team he should have been good against.
Oh, really? Because I heard yesterday. Hold on.
The Sisters of the Nazarene.
Fat Mike, Fat Mike. Hold on a second. All I heard yesterday was, well, it was the Lions. But what, if he plays well against the Cowboys, I'll give him some credit then. That's what I kept hearing from analysts.
Well, not
well, guess what, Mike? I wasn't talking to you yesterday, but that's what the analysts were all saying. Do it against the Cowboys. They got the eighth-ranked team. They got DeMarcus Lawrence. They've got all these good players. He goes out and balls out last night, and you still don't want to give him any credit. Let's see him do it against Green Bay, but I'm sure Fat Mike will have an excuse why he played well in Green Bay. Well, it was snowy. Guys were slipping, whatever the case may be. Let's just let this play out, okay?
He's going to be a dumpster fire.
Okay, you're entitled to your opinion, Fat Mike. I don't
and
agree
then,
with
and
you.
And then you still sit there. You sit there, and not you, but the Bears in general, they sit there in mediocrity again because they go up and they take away a pick and they draft this guy, and it's redundant. It's over and over and over and over again that they do this.
Mike, just let it play out, all right? Let it play out. Let's see how he does the next 3 weeks.
Years.
Mike.
It's been over 2.5 years. He's not the guy, Cap. Right. I love you. I listen to your show every single day. But at the same time, it's like, you got to be kidding me with this Bears talk. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to agree to disagree with you. I'm going to agree to disagree with you. He has made progress. And if you don't see progress, you're not watching.
Hey, let me ask you one question, Fat Mike. If you see against the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Vikings, these last three games of the regular season, if you see the Trubisky that we saw last night against those teams, do you think you might change your opinion of whether or not he is the future of this franchise? Or have you already made up your mind?
I will be the very first one to admit that I would love to eat crow on my speculation and sight on Mitchell Trubisky. I would love to eat crow on it. I really would. But after sitting there and watching him for over two seasons now of continuously making simple mistakes on overthrowing receivers within 10 yards, 15 yards, 20 yards, it gets sickening as a Bears fan to watch it. And it's hard to believe, looking at this team, that he's the answer at quarterback. And it's not just Mitch. It's the running game. It's the wide receivers. But I hear a lot of this stuff where it's, oh, Mitch, he's turned a corner. He's turned a corner. He hasn't turned anything in my eye. He's still the same guy. Well, where he can't hit an open receiver. He looks down one receiver
hold on a second. Mike, all the time. Mike, I love you, and I love that you listen, and I love your passion. Mike, did you hear the stat that I read at the start of the show?
I did not. I'm just tuning in now. What was the stat, Cap?
I'm going to read you a stat, and I want you to just give this guy a little bit of credit. Just a little
bit. Open mind right now. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the stat. How many quarterbacks do you think in National Football League history have had 70.0 or better completion percentage on 30 or more attempts in a game, in the same game throwing 3 or more touchdowns, running for 50 or more yards, and running for a TD all in the same game? How many times has that happened?
Maybe 5 times.
Yeah, maybe 1. It happened last night. That's the only guy in the history of the NFL that ever did it.
Okay.
All I'm asking you, Fat Mike, is to relax, enjoy the weekend, and then get back at it with Green Bay, and let's evaluate this thing at the end of the year and see where we're at. Oh, is that fair?
It's hard to, Cap. It really is, because it's the same product on the field each and every year, man. And I'm not the only one that thinks about this, man. It's every other Bear fan. I don't even know how they're filling the stands right now.
Well, you know what? There were a lot of empty seats. Chris Bleck can attest to that last night. But, Fat Mike, thank you for calling.
Mike, have a good weekend, kid.
Thanks, brothers. Have a good one.
I say one thing. You and Mike might not see eye to eye, but as the armchair nutritionist, I don't think you need to keep calling him Fat Mike.
Shaming.
Come on. He's a big-boned guy, maybe, but, like, he's Mike. He's a caller of the show. To call him Fat because you disagree on Mitch is a little bit low of a blow today, Bald Kaplan.
Danny. Did you not type his name up there as Fat Mike?
No, I didn't, Bald Kaplan.
Oh,
Pat?
You did have that on. I have to call that out.
Thank you.
What are you talking about? Denying reality. Yeah. That's normal.
Mike represents, I think, a large contingent of Bears fans.
No question.
And a lot of that is quarterback scar tissue.
No doubt.
Okay?
This town doesn't know what one looks like.
And that's understandable. And it's hard to put decades of futility at the quarterback position in the rearview mirror when you talk about this team. Because you could hear, he says year. The word years kept coming up.
Correct.
In his soliloquy.
That Mike's a diehard.
I get it. And he is and you know what? He might be right. Mitch may not be the answer. These may be outlier games.
Maybe.
For me, I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 quarterback. I was hoping he'd be somewhere 15. In the teens, mm-hmm. and that paired with this defense, that would be good enough. Mm-hmm. For the bulk of the season, he was a bottom fourth quarterback, even lower.
No doubt.
Many times the lowest rated quarterback of starting quarterbacks.
Right. And that,
in the last
three, honest.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, so I get somebody who stands in that. I'm leaning there myself, but he's made me pause here the last couple of weeks to think that, you know what, this is his skill set. He's more of a runner. Get him on the move. He's never going to be great throwing the deep ball. He's good at short and intermediate. Like, work with his skill set more.
And then
adapt the offensive game plan accordingly. I don't know if that ultimately can get you a Super Bowl win, because then defenses will adjust as well. But it's better than the garbage I was watching, you know, the first 12 weeks of the season where, you know, it was a struggle to get to 19 points.
And maybe the other stuff, deep ball, whatever, is coming. We don't know.
Maybe, you know.
Just let it play
maybe,
out. That's
maybe.
What I'm saying to you, Thin Mike. Just let it play. Is that better, Danny?
How about just Mike? Okay. I mean, come on.
Well, the problem is there's a lot of Mikes in the world. I got to make sure that Mike knows I'm talking to him.
But Mike,
and he calls himself Fat Mike.
And he brought food in the equation because he said that he flips more than a McDonald's cheeseburger, whatever he said.
Right. So he was funny.
And accurate.
Love you, Fat Mike.
Love you.
312-332-3776. We'll go back to these calls. Every line's been lit since before the show hit the air. Every line.
All right, we got to get through a bunch of them.
Let's just roll
on the other
through
side.
Them. Okay, fast break, and then we're just going to roll. Boom. Try and get all of them clipped off. We'll be right back.
It's a Victory Friday, and the hunt will go on for the postseason. We're talking about a Bears win against the Cowboys.
We start at 2. It's a Victory Friday on ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000. With Pat Boyle, I'm David Kaplan. PB's got a long day ahead. He has got to do Blackhawks tonight as they're in New Jersey.
How about that win last night against the juggernaut that is the Boston Bruins?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Did not see that coming at all.
Number two team in the Eastern Conference, have yet to lose in regulation at home.
And the Hawks almost blew it.
Well, they did. They did. There's that. There's that. Had a 3-0 lead.
Late.
Yep. And Bruins came back with a response. But Johnny Toews, the captain, came through in overtime with a dramatic game-winning goal. So they'll try to follow it up against a bad Devils team tonight. We'll have the game for you, NBC Sports Chicago, pregame at 5:30.
So I was on, you know, watching the Bears game. I'm on my phone, and I'm checking the scores app, and I'm like, 3-0 Hawks. They got this one. And I go back, oh, it's 3-1 Hawks. Go back to it again, and I go, 3-3. What? Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. 312-332-3776. David's in Milwaukee. He's next. Hey, David. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Cap, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you. I thought that I was the president of the Mitchell Trubisky fan club. Greg in Indiana? Come on now, man. We had a good thing going.
All right. You can both be the co-presidents, okay?
I'm just giving you.
There you go.
But listen, I wanted to basically say this. You know, I listen to Fat or Finn Mike. Look, I don't care if the guy is corpulent or portly. What bothers me about Bears fans like that is it's never – enough to see Mitchell play well. It's like, even when he is doing good things, they're still begrudgingly admitting it. Like, I was even texting my sister last night, who I love dearly, and after, you know, Trubisky came back after the interception, threw a really nice ball to Robinson, you know, she's like, great, he can throw a touchdown, Mazel Tov. It's like, why can't people simply accept the good as much as they are so trigger happy to just brutalize him for the bad? I thought, and why I was so vehement in my defense of Trubisky yesterday, is because I saw a different guy against the Lions. That was the guy I saw much more, you know, sort of step for step with last year. That is the guy who much more resembled the player we saw for the duration of last season. He then backed it up last night with arguably the best game of his career, and everyone says, oh, Dallas is garbage. First of all, they're not garbage. They're in the playoff hunt. They're probably going to win their division. I understand they've underachieved lately. They still have a top half defense in the league, and Mitchell Trubisky did something, as you said, Cap, no one has ever done in the history of the league.
I get it. And David, we got to move on. We got to roll through these. Appreciate the call. Look, he's just got to stack game after game. It's like Ryan Pace, he had to continually stack good free agent signings and draft picks. And when he missed, he had to come back and do it again. It's just, you got to keep, you'll change people's minds by just keep playing well.
Well, people are stubborn, and they have their own bias to things. And when they take a stance on somebody, and quarterback is, because we call it the most important position, we call it the most important position in all of sports, people make their mind up, and then they stick to it. And I do think there is also, you know, the bias situation with Watson and Mahomes, that no matter what Mitch does, it's never going to be better than those two, and you're never going to win those fans over. But I think the majority of people can take a step back and say, look, you know, at times this guy has not shown the capability of being a franchise quarterback, and at some times he has. And we're still trying to figure it out, as I do think Ryan Pace and the Bears are trying to figure out.
No doubt.
And these last three games against playoff caliber teams is going to go a long way into making that evaluation.
Just keep playing good football. That's it. 312-332-3776. Let's see. Derek is in Gary, Indiana. Hey, Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Cap PB?
What's up, Derek?
Nothing much. Hey, just wanted to talk about Mitchell Trubisky. I think he's progressed a lot since they put Cody White here back in under center. I think that he's been playing a lot better, feels more comfortable with him under center versus Daniels.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the second thing, too, if you give the Bears any kind of halfway workable tight end, that makes the offense flow a lot better, too. So, you know, that's helped out a lot. You know, with the tight end production too. So those are the two things I've been seeing that's been helping Mitch out a lot better lately.
Hey man, appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. Jesper Horsted yesterday, and the Cordarrelle Patterson run down almost where it looked like he was going to get tackled behind the line. Next thing you know, he's
breaking ankles.
He was ridiculous.
You know, and back to my my thesis of this is the late year. Everything was late.
Mm-hmm.
They were late on.
I think that's a good thesis.
They were late on the tight end position. Should have pulled the plug on Shaheen quicker, and should have realized Trey Burton was too injured or not the same guy that we saw last year. That should have been done quicker. So much of the problems that the Bears had this year, they stuck with it too long. They did not adapt.
Mm-hmm. Lots of action on social media. If you want to ever tweet at the show, he's at Boyle NBCS. I'm at the Catman. He's at Chris Black. He is at D Zetterman. You can also get his podcast through his Twitter, The Armchair Nutritionist. 312-332-3776. Corey in Omaha. Hey, Corey, welcome, man.
Hey, happy Bears Victory Friday there, Capcake. How you guys doing?
All good, man. What's up?
Hey, just a couple things I wanted to mention that I noticed last night. You guys have talked about the line and Mitch and everybody playing good. I agree with all that. But I wanted to add also that I really liked how Mitch ran last night. He would get down early enough so that he never took a hit. I don't think he took a hit all night. I noticed at one point, like in the fourth quarter, just from the TV view, his back was clean. And I was like, that just tells me he's been making wise decisions all night. So I love when he runs the ball that way. And then the other thing I noticed was that even though we had a couple of drops, I thought receivers did a great job last night making contested catches. And obviously you guys were just talking about it. Yak was huge last night. So those are my comments. Just wanted to make those. Love you guys. Appreciate the show every day on the internet.
You're the best. Thanks, Corey. Corey. Have a great day, man. Let's go to Jose in Grays Lake. Jose, what's going on, bud?
Not much, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We appreciate your call. What's going on?
All right, just wanted to touch on a couple things. So, Fat Mike, you know, he is that fan that exists nowadays. The one that got away is always going to be the case for them with Mahomes and Watson. But Mitch, for what he has, certain games, the offensive line has gotten destroyed. The games that we've lost, but he's pulled a couple of great games recently, you know, so we got to give him a chance. 2 weeks in a row, he's shown up. Now we got Green Bay, but I'm still sure if he throws one pick and we lose by a point or a field goal, we're going to crucify the kid again. Cause think about it, a month ago or after the Rams game, there were stories. I think it was Waddle talking like, well, Pace fell in love with him and this kid is just garbage, but no matter what, Pace is in love with the guy. So that's how they were going to play it. And I just wonder what Waddle's going to say tonight.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Tommy. Tommy, and we appreciate your call, Jose. Tommy has always been, I think, the most measured and has always used his eyes and the film
He called this year the year of Mitch.
Determination.
He called this the year of Mitch, and he was going to base his thoughts on whether or not Trubisky is a franchise quarterback by the body of work he saw this year. I think the story that the caller was referring to was former Buccaneer quarterback with the Ravens. Who am I thinking about here?
Trent Dilfer.
He wrote a piece or talked about it on a podcast saying, you know, it basically you fall in. He fell in love with himself, you know, from the car to, you know, unheralded, you know, not a big football powerhouse and all these things. And when you fall in love with someone like that, you got blinders on sometimes and you don't see what's right in front of your face, which is Deshaun Watson or what have you. Mm-hmm. So he may be referring to one of the stories that Waddle and Sylvie talked about, but. I don't think that's you know,
that's not Tommy.
No, I don't think so.
By the way, Andrew Siciliano from NFL Network just tweeted, if you're wondering, the Cowboys would win the four-way tie at 6-10 in the NFC East. Mathematically possible, but a silly long shot. Crazy. All right, got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. More of your calls. If you're getting a busy signal, keep on trying. We'll get to you. It's Cap and Company on ESPN.